Imagine for a moment, I know it'll be difficult, but imagine for a moment that you're excited about the Olympic Games coming to Britain in 2012. Fantastic event, once in a lifetime chance to see the greatest athletes from all over the world coming to this country. You can't miss it, you just got to go. You think you'll get ahead of the game, and so you scour the internet in search of a ticket. Any ticket will do, any event, the final of anything that you can find. It doesn't matter what it is, just to be there, to say that you were there. Well, would you believe it? You found one. This site has a limited amount of tickets, but if you send your details, send your payment, you're guaranteed a place by the track for the final of the 50-mile walk. Bargain! How exciting! You send off, and within a week, you've got your ticket. You're going to the Olympics. So you get in training, and you make sure you look after yourself, because you don't want to be ill on that day, on your big day. You research the times of trains to get you there in time, and perhaps you should stay overnight, perhaps in a hotel, so that you don't miss it. You got your bread and jam sandwiches, and your oxtail soup in your flask, and you're off. And that will keep you going through the day. Everything's sorted. You've thought of everything. You're fully prepared. The day's come and you're off. You're not put off by the rain or by the train being jam-packed. Even a two-hour-long queue to get in can't dampen your spirits. You're at the Olympic Games. You get up to the barrier eventually. Nearly in. Heart beating faster. You're so excited. That ticket that you've slept with under your pillow for 2 years, you hand it over. Sorry, mate. Can't come in with this ticket. It's a forgery. What do you mean, a forgery? It says Olympic Games on it, and it's got today's date on it, and I bought it with my own money. Sorry. It's not a proper ticket. It's not real. You've not got the genuine article. It's a counterfeit. You can't come in. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Find that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 3. How do we know we're doing the right things? The right things to get us into heaven. At a time when there's so many conflicting messages, how do we make sure that we don't have a counterfeit and therefore useless ticket? I want us to think about that this evening. Can you turn with me, please, to John's first letter, the first letter of John, the New Testament, and chapter 4. First letter of John and chapter 4. One John chapter 4. "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? John is in no doubt whatsoever about who we all need to listen to. In chapter 5, verse 20 of this letter, he writes, "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." He knows that we need to listen to the truth. And that truth is found in Jesus Christ, who is the true God and eternal life. John here is writing to believers in the first century church. The message of truth needs to be passed on to non-believers too, of course, because truth is for everyone. Everyone needs to know the truth. We mustn't replace the truth with something that we want to hear. We mustn't just hear what we want to hear. We mustn't believe that something's the truth just because we want it to be the truth. This is a very real danger in our society today. We believe something is true just because it pleases us to believe it is. We need to know the truth. So this evening I want us to ask ourselves how we know who is telling us the truth. How can we possibly know when so many different people are trying to grab our attention with their so-called truths? We look at what they say, we look at their motivation, how they live, and I want us to look at the message of the truth as explained in the Bible. We all want to know the truth. We all need to know the truth, don't we? John's here writing to believers, but they've come into contact with people who are spreading a false message. They're the so-called false prophets referred to in verse 1. They claimed to have a true revelation from God. They were giving out a message denying that Jesus was fully man, yet fully God, which John says is not the truth. In fact, John calls it the spirit of the Antichrist in verse 3. Well, you might ask, what authority has John got to say this? He was there. He knew Jesus. He knew Jesus. He walked with him, listened to him, talked with the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's his authority. He was there. Even today, there are many who say that they have a message from the Lord, or the Lord told me this, or told me that. Some claim a new revelation from God. Some claim a new ministry from God. How do we know they're genuine? You'll have heard the story, no doubt, about the man who pursued a man. The man who pursued a woman endlessly, saying that the Lord had told him that he was going to marry her. Unfortunately, the Lord hadn't mentioned it at all to the lady. How do we know that what we're hearing is actually from God? How can we make sure we're not sold a counterfeit? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to God? Are you listening to the truth? Let's look firstly at verses 1 to 3, where John urges us to test the spirits and goes on to explain what he means. Listen to their words. Test their words. All listeners, you included, have a responsibility to test the spirits of the people that we're listening to. You'll remember the account of the believers in Berea in Acts chapter 17, who, we read, examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. We read that in Acts 17, verse 11. They didn't just listen, did they? No, they went home and they read their scriptures and they made sure that what Paul was saying agreed with the revealed word of God. And it's so important that we as listeners do that too. We have to test what we hear against the revealed word of God. This word of God, the Bible, is the highest authority. It is God-breathed. It's from heaven, from God. This is the highest authority that we have before us. If what we hear does not agree with the Bible, the speaker has some explaining to do. And we check what we hear against Scripture because we know that these words are God-breathed, inspired by God. God will not say anything which contradicts the words that he has already revealed and caused to be retained down through the generations. When I was at university, yes, I was clever once, I studied German, and we had to read German books at the rate of one a week, which I didn't really enjoy. Anyway, we had this old professor, and once a week we had a tutorial with him where we discuss each book that we were reading. And this particular morning, we were discussing this book, making lots of notes, copious notes, as you do when you're a student. You just don't say a lot, you just write a lot of notes and hope that it helps. So we're making lots of notes about what he was saying the book was about. Well, we'd listened to this professor for nearly an hour when he asked, "This is what the story's about, isn't it?" And we looked at him for a moment. And to our utter shock, he then said, "No, of course it isn't. Go away and read the book." This is what we must do when we're listening to someone claiming to speak with the authority of God. Go away and read the book. We should be in the habit of doing this, whether it's Derek, whether it's myself, whether it's any other preacher that we're listening to. Test the spirits. Check the Bible. Check what we hear with the revealed word of God. You know, we're so easily carried along with what someone says if they say it excitedly or enthusiastically. We're so easily impressed, aren't we, with something powerful or unusual. We're so easily tempted to ascribe all these kinds of things to the power of God. But John says here, test the spirits, because not all acts of power come from God. There are false prophets, imposters, counterfeits. Look at Simon the sorcerer, read it later in Acts chapter 8. He was able to do powerful things which weren't from God. He performed things which amazed the people. They even called him the great power. But what he did was not from God. Verse 2 tells us how we know that what we are listening to is from God, that it's the truth of God. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God, it says. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. John says in his Gospel that it is the Holy Spirit's work to testify about Jesus, the Son of God, and to bring glory to him. Jesus says in John 16, verse 13 and 14, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will bring glory to me, Jesus, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." If we're listening to a message which does not proclaim Jesus as fully God, fully man, if we're listening to any message that does not encourage people to worship and obey God, if we're listening to a message which supports teaching which contradicts what is recorded in the Bible, even though it may result in works of power, that message does not come from God. Firstly then, listen to their words, test their words, check what they're saying against the authority of God's revealed truth, His revealed word. We have a responsibility not just to blindly accept what we hear as truth. God's word is the ultimate authority on truth. Who are you listening to? God's truth? Secondly, in verses 4 to 6, we see a contrast between those who have a wrong message and the believers who are reading this letter, who are from God. Between those who have the spirit of falsehood and those who have the spirit of truth. We have to look and see their motivation. Look and see their lives. What is the motivation behind their message? Again, we're encouraged to be vigilant. You know, it is possible to look without seeing, isn't it? You can go to Asda and look for that jar of pickles for ages, and you go and have to ask for help, and there it is, right in front of your nose. It was there all the time. I've driven 10 miles to work from Brighton to Hassocks and arrived at school realizing that I haven't really seen the journey. Although I've done the right things, obviously, and I've seen the traffic going on around me, I've not actually seen it. I've been looking, doing all the right things. It is possible to look without seeing. We mustn't be fooled by what we see. We mustn't just see what we want to see. We must look and see the motivation behind those trying to influence our lives. Verse 5 says, "They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them." The world listens to them. Why? Because they're saying things that glorify man, and the world always listens. False teachers are bound to this world. They're motivated by doing well in this world, by being prosperous in this world, by being popular in this world, by being listened to by people entrenched in this world. Bring a message of what God has done, tell of the God of all creation, and you're received with ridicule. Bring a message of how clever man is, you'll receive acclaim. The world will always listen to a message telling how great we are. Talk about the brave soldiers giving their lives on the battlefield in Afghanistan. People will be moved, and quite rightly. But tell about the sacrifice of the Son of God on a cross for the forgiveness of sins, you'll be laughed at. You'll be sneered at, even persecuted. How many times have we heard on the news that people in the church have lost touch with reality because they're not keeping up with the times, that the church's message is outdated, that we've moved on from needing to receive forgiveness for our sins, that that old message doesn't reach everybody because it's old-fashioned, it's just not relevant. How many times have we heard that? How many times do we hear the call for the church to change its message so that everyone can accept it? Man should not be concerned with changing God's message. God's message should be changing man. Since when did man tell God what to do? They are from the world, and the world listens to them. Who are you listening to? The words of God or the voice of man? Hymn writer Horatius Bonar said, "Truth exists. Only lies are invented." Sorry, I said that wrong. "Truth exists. Only lies are invented." Truth is fixed. Truth never changes. Truth lasts forever. The truth offered by man changes constantly. But God's truth is the same and lasts forever. We read in Isaiah 40 that all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Why? Because it is truth, and it survives through all generations. Listen to God. Hear the word of God. It is truth. Man tries to convince us of truth without God. He thinks if he keeps on about it, if he shouts loud enough, people will accept his words. But truth is fixed. Something doesn't become true because lots of people think or say it. No matter how many people shout about evolution, they will not make it the truth. It is man's theory, man's attempt to give an explanation, a theory, not truth. False teachers will always be well received in the world because they will make the message palatable. They will add to the truth, they will take away from the truth, they will twist the truth so that people accept their vision of the truth. Don't be taken in. Jesus said to the believers when he walked the earth, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8:31 and 32. There are no half measures. You see, if the truth of God is watered down, it ceases to be truth, and it has no power. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes." Romans 1:16. Water down the gospel to make it acceptable to people, and you take away its power to save man from hell. Oh, they say, leave out the bit about man needing forgiveness for his sins. Leave out the bit about Jesus dying on the cross. Leave out the bit about us needing to say sorry for our sins. Forget the bit about the man Jesus rising from the dead. And whatever you do, don't mention the bit about coming judgment and us heading for hell if we don't turn to God. Leave them out. And what you're left with is a nice story, a pretty little story, which everybody will be happy with. There'll be lots of people ready to listen to you. But what you're left with is not the truth. And it's totally useless and powerless to save and change lives. Earlier on in this letter, chapter 1, verse 8, John writes, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." All of God's revealed message is necessary for us to know the truth. You can't change it. You can't leave bits out. It is truth. Make sure you're listening to all of God's truth. Don't listen to any message which is watering down God's truth. Are you listening to God? Or are you listening to man? We need to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Only then can we live a life based on the truth. Only by receiving God's truth can we live a true and full life, a life knowing God, the God who is love. Which leads us on to verses 7 to 12. The wonderful thing that verse 4 of our passage tells us is that believers do believe the truth. They have overcome those bringing false messages. How? We read there, "Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." So let's just talk about this truth, that will persevere despite man's attempts to distort it. TV presenter Richard Wakeley once said, "Everyone wishes to have truth on his side, but not everyone wishes to be on the side of truth." But the truth of God will last forever because it is truth. No matter how many people believe it, truth is truth. These verses tell us that true believers will not be overcome. True faith will not be destroyed. This is the encouraging thing for God's people. The Saviour, Jesus, will not be denied. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, we read of Jesus as the great shepherd, and his followers as his sheep. Jesus says his sheep know his voice. They will not be fooled by a wolf in sheep's clothing. In John 10:5, Jesus says true believers will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. This is the wonderful thing for the Christian. We will overcome. How is it with you? Do you recognize the truth? Do you recognize Jesus' voice? Do Do you recognize the voice of the Son of God, your Savior? Do you discard the false messages and recognize the truth? You see, those bits of the gospel that people want to leave out are vital. The bit about our being separated from God by our sin, our wanting to go our own way, not His. The bit about Jesus dying on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins. The bit about Jesus rising from the dead. All these are absolutely and crucially vital to us. Otherwise we're lost and without hope. We can't make ourselves right with God. Unless He died for our sins, we're still facing punishment for our sins. Unless Jesus rose again, we can't rise again either. We have no hope, nothing after the grave, no eternity, if these things aren't true. The message of the Bible is this, the last three words of verse 8. God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world, that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is God's truth. God is love. And in His grace and mercy, He sent Jesus to die on the cross, the cruelest of deaths. Why? Because this was the only way that man could have a relationship with God restored. No matter what man does, he is not able to restore that relationship. This is the truth. The wonderful news for all of us is that man doesn't need to restore that relationship himself, because God has done it for us. Jesus has done it. By taking the punishment for our sins on that cross, we can be reunited with God. The proof of this truth is in the resurrection of Jesus. By rising again from the dead, He showed that He has superior power over all creation. This is why this truth will succeed, and all other false messages will ultimately fail. Because this is the truth of God. Are you listening? Are you hearing what God is saying? God is love. And the ultimate expression of that love is in Jesus' death on the cross. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. God took the initiative. He decided to love those who didn't love Him. This is God's truth. Fixed truth. Unshakable truth. Despite all man's attempts to distort this truth, God's truth will stand forever. The truth that God has provided for our needs, He has provided a Saviour, His one and only Son, Jesus. We need to come to God through Him in order to live eternally with Him. This is the truth. So who are you listening to? Will you hear and accept God's truth and spend eternity with Him? Or will you prefer to listen to a false message and realize only too late that what you listened to was counterfeit, and to find out that Jesus never knew you and He sends you away? Hear the word of God. Your eternity depends upon it. Accept nothing less than God's truth. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that You would help us to be discerning in what we hear and what we're listening to and what we're influenced by. Father, it may be straightforward to come to church on a Sunday and know Your voice speaking to us, whereas it's not so easy to recognize that voice when we're out in the world day by day during the week. Father, help us to be discerning in the messages that we hear. Father, help us to cling to Your word. Help us to gauge everything that we hear against the revealed word of God, Your truth. Father, may we recognize Your voice May we be the sheep who recognize the voice of the great shepherd. May we know your Holy Spirit speaking to us. May we never be tempted to fall short, to fall away from you. Father, please help us to stay on the path of God, of your truth. Father, help us each one as we go from this place to know you with us, to know your truth, and to have your truth working in our hearts and minds by your Spirit. Bless us each one, for Jesus' sake. Amen.